Hey guys, welcome to the second ever bonus mini episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. This is Gerald here. I want to thank filmmaker, writer, director, and creator of the web series In Real Life, Bobby Del Rio, for joining me for this bonus mini episode. We discuss in depth his IRL web series, which you guys should definitely check out. Go to irltheseries.com and you can find him on Twitter at Bobman. So, without further ado, here is my interview with filmmaker Bobby Del Rio. Enjoy. All right, welcome in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast. It's a bonus episode. You guys are getting us a little bonus here for you. I know you can't get enough of us, so I figured I'd do that for you. Last bonus episode we did was on The Bachelor, so this one's going to be a little more, a little less reality TV, I suppose. But it does get real, though. This time I'm going to welcome in someone who I discovered on Twitter and ended up watching his web series. I binged it. I couldn't stop watching it. I watched the whole thing from, I believe it was 12 episodes. But we got director, creator of the web series In Real Life. And also an actor. He showed up in a few of those episodes. But welcome in Bobby Del Rio. Bobby, how you doing, man?
Good, dude. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. I know you're beyond busy doing a tour. You told me you're going to New York next week and kind of all over the place. I saw In Real Life just got, got nominated for something recently, right? I saw on Twitter. It was
We keep getting into festivals and nominated for stuff. I mean, it's cool. It's been a wild ride.
That's awesome, man. So tell everyone real quick that may not know you. You know, what's your background? What do you do there? What's your how would you describe yourself on a resume?
I'm like an actor, writer, director. So I've been doing it for about 20 years here in Canada and Toronto. I guess I started in theater. Now I mostly do film and television, although I am doing a play. I wrote a play called Professionally Ethnic, and I'm acting in it as well. And
okay.
We go up in about 3 weeks, so my body is really tired from rehearsal right now.
I bet. Is it out there in Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool, man. Well, I want to talk a little bit about In Real Life. I know, when did that premiere? Was it about a year ago?
Yeah, I guess it would have been last August. We actually premiered on television first.
Okay.
Before we hit the web, because we made it with Bell Media. Bell Media is like the biggest media corporation in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a channel called 5TV1. So they partnered with us to make the show. So we were on TV first across Canada, and then we went on the web about a month after that.
Well, that's really cool. Well, like I said, I watched all of them. It's 12 episodes. And when you watch them in succession, it's only a little over an hour, really, because they're 5, 6, 7 minutes each. I was going to ask what made you decide to go that route as opposed to just the hour-long show? Because if you watch these all, back-to-back from 1 to 12 like I did, I mean, it does play as a show. There's a lot of different characters in there, but some of the characters recur a little bit, especially in the finale.
Yeah.
What made you go with the 5, 6-minute format?
That's an intelligent question. Really, it's just about how the actual show could be consumed as a product.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I could have just made a pilot.
Right.
But then, I don't know. I feel like I could just make a pilot and then we could use that pilot and try to sell it to networks to make a bigger show.
Right.
But then, what if they don't buy it, right? Because the reality is lots of pilots get made and very few get turned into shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't just... you could just put a pilot on the internet and get people to watch it. But I feel like people would have a feeling of dissatisfaction because it's they get a taste, but they don't actually get an experience, really.
Yeah, what I was going to say, too, from a viewer standpoint, I thought it was really cool. I got to be honest, prior to In Real Life, I never watched a web series, period, regardless of the duration. The only one I really watched a few episodes of was Jerry Seinfeld's, the comedians in cars getting coffee. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I just love him, though, and I love comedians. So that's really the only reason I watched that, depending on the guest that he had on there. But aside from that, I've never watched a scripted kind of web series. And in watching yours and doing a little research, I realized there's a whole world out there of different web series and just shows that you can only really get on the web via YouTube or whatever it may be. But what I thought was cool too, from a viewer standpoint, I was going to tell you is that you know, it keeps your attention because only 5 minutes long. So it's not, you know, it's not like you really have time to zone out or to go do something or something takes your attention away. You definitely get to finish an episode. And in my case, I was able to watch them all back to back. But what's really cool is if you can't, you know, watch one or two and that's only 10, 15 minutes, you know, so you can kind of watch it at your own pace where you're not missing the story. You're not leaving halfway through, if that makes sense. So I thought that's kind of a cool thing, too.
Yeah, and you know what we tried to do is make every episode kind of its own standalone piece.
Right, and you did.
You know, every episode's got kind of its own genre, its own style, its own tone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, and I was actually going to ask you about that because so the series starts with Lana, and I guess it starts and ends with her. Really, she's kind of the bookends for the show. Would you say that's appropriate?
Yeah, and she's our protagonist, played by Sydney Van Delft.
Right.
Very talented.
Right. Great actress. I mean, it was some tough scenes that she had to act there. But you're, like you said, very talented, and she pulled it off really well. I have a 15-year-old daughter that's going on 16. She'll be 16 in a couple months. So
that really resonated with you.
It did. And, you know, she's actually been a victim of online bullying on Twitter. So she actually had a situation about a year and a half ago where she had to get off Twitter because of the bullying that was taking place. So, you know,
that's terrible. It's a real issue. It affects real people.
Yeah, it did speak to me for sure. So obviously you got tragedy there because we talked about Lana, but there's also some comedy. You know, my favorite episodes in the 12 were probably, I'm looking at the list here and I'm trying to recollect my memory, but I would say probably Catfish Kids was pretty funny. That was a pretty funny one. And then Sharing, which I think, are you in that one? Or is that one of the ones?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one where they have the menage a trois, though, right? Or they do the...
Yeah, or menage a four, whatever you call that.
Yeah, menage a four, yeah.
Yeah,
but that one had some comedy in it. Catfish Kids had some comedy in it with the video game guy, and he's going on the blind date or whatever. And I love that actress, too, the redhead that's in that one. I don't think she popped back up in the series, though, but I remember I really took to her. I liked her a lot.
Oh, yeah, Brittany. Brittany's great.
Yeah. So what was your favorite, if you had to pick a one-off from this series, what was your favorite one to direct or to be in?
I mean, I like all of them for different reasons. I think my favorite is probably episode 9.
Okay.
Stardom. Which is, you know, really intense to both sexual assault.
Yes. That one's dark. I remember that one.
But I don't know. I guess for me as an artist, I think it's important to use your platform to tell important stories. So I felt like I was able to do that with Stardom.
No, that's a good one. That's the one where the gentleman's like a celebrity, right? And he has a fan over to his house and then takes advantage of her or tries to.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah, that was super dark, but I remember that one. And then another one I liked that wasn't funny, but I liked it because I feel like it would play well as a movie, honestly. Definitely as an episode of like an hour episode. But Blue Light Horror, the one where the girl...
I like that one as well.
Yeah, has insomnia and you know, it was on her phone basically for a week straight or whatever. The world that we live in, I feel like that would easily be something that may happen or probably has happened. So let me ask you, so in real life, which is really, yeah, I apologize, Bobby, but that's what I know you from for the most part. But in speaking about that specifically, I mean, did any of your personal experiences kind of show up in this show? Was there anything that you experienced in your own life that you use to kind of tell the story in one of these episodes?
Well, it's funny you say that because so CBC, you know, CBC, I'm not sure if you know CBC. CBC is like one of the biggest television networks here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But they just did like a little mini documentary on me.
Okay.
She's about a minute long. It's going to air any day now. I don't know when exactly, but basically it's about how I created IRL. And actually, so I also experienced online bullying.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I, you know, like very, in a very real way, like I've experienced the viciousness that can happen in the social media world, which was basically the impetus to create the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so in terms of, and I wrote Stardom, the sexual assault episode. And I have, you know, like 10 friends who've been raped or sexually assaulted.
Right. No, it's definitely a problem. Well, that's interesting. You know, I kind of, it's always comes out on the art too when it's got a personal connection to you, and I could kind of feel that a little bit. So the actors involved in this, because there's several of them, because almost every episode has a different quote unquote star.
Yeah, we have a cast of 35.
Okay, it's 35. I was going to ask that. So Did you, I think I read somewhere, I can't remember where, but I believe I read somewhere that this was kind of a community effort where these actors just kind of came together on your behalf. Did you have to do like the traditional kind of like casting calls, or did people just kind of say, hey, I want to be a part of this?
Well, it's a pretty cool story actually, because this is about as random as it can get. It's funny because, you know, IRL, our show is like, you know, it's somewhat dystopian. Mm-hmm. That wasn't necessarily the goal, but it just kind of turned out that way. Like we got a lot of intense sort of dark stories about the social media experience. Mm-hmm. But actually the way it all started was a pretty awesome social media experience, because I was like just bored one day, and there was this Facebook group for a group here called Yeah, which is the Young Emerging Actors Assembly, which is part of our film and television actor union here, ACTRA. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like the youth division. It's like a bunch of 20 somethings who have this like, you know, sort of Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And I'd done a lot of stuff working with that committee for years. So one day I was just bored and I just posted in the group and I was like, hey, like, who wants to make something? And I thought maybe like 5 to 10 people would be like, okay, cool, like let's make a short film or something.
Right.
And then 65 people signed up in 36 hours.
People are just fiending to do something on camera. If you're an actor, I guess that makes sense. You know, it's funny that you said that, because podcasting is the same way. Because we have podcasting groups on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and somebody will throw up on there like, hey, we're recording an episode tonight. We want, you know, 5 other podcasters to join us, and it'll just be like a flood of people. I'll do it. You know, I'll hook my stuff up. I'll be there, you know. So, yeah, very similar.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's cool, though. And it shows you, like, how like, the fabric of our world, it really spans across like multiple communities, and we're all like a click away from each other, you know?
Right. How would you, so there's drama, there's obviously tragedy, we talked about comedy, I talked about a little bit, sex, love, suspense, the one that you mentioned, stardom.
Yeah.
So many themes play out through the 12 episodes. I mean, how would you kind of wrap up and give a tagline to everyone to explain in real life?
I mean, if I had to summarize the whole show, I would say what it does is it attempts to recreate the entire social media experience, mm-hmm, in one web series, and you know, really mine the depth and complexity of that experience. Mm-hmm. I will say if we're going to have a longer conversation about it, like I created a writing room, and what we'd actually done is we sort of categorized all possible stories in the social media sphere, mm-hmm, as falling into one of 4 quadrants.
Okay.
So we had created like 4 main themes, the types of stories we wanted to tell for IRL. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't remember exactly what they were. One was like identity, and you know, one was, I don't know what it was. One was identity, and then there was like 3 others. Like we were basically just, I think, connection,
right?
Just like things that kept coming up and up, like over and over again. Like we would talk about all the different stories, and then we started realizing, oh, this would come up, this would come up. And then we actually, like, I literally wrote down on a blackboard, okay, and then we had the 4 pillars of thought for the show, and then we sort of grouped all the story ideas into one of those quadrants, and then we made sure to sort of balance it out so that we could, you know, try and get the breadth of that social media experience the way we had sort of parsed it.
Right. It definitely tells the story of the social media experience, especially through younger folks. Cause I'm almost 42, so I'm all over social media, but I'm not susceptible to a lot of the things that these people would experience, probably because I'm too old.
Well, I'm basically the same age as you. I'm going to be 40 this year.
Okay. So. Okay. But, you know, it's cool because these characters are relatable, and, you know, a lot of these problems are very prevalent on social media. I mean, our world is changing. Technology is changing. Did you ever watch Black Mirror on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows of the last, I don't know, 5 years, but they have some themes on there as well about kind of the future of social media. I don't know if you remember the one with Bryce Dallas Howard where the whole society operates on how many likes you get on photos and stuff like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. I had watched the first 2 seasons of Black Mirror, mm-hmm, before. I didn't watch the new, because I heard there was some social media stuff. So I was like, let me watch that after,
right,
I make IRL.
Right. I could see a little similarity, but not as in like a copycat way, but just like, you know, social media is what it is. So it's like, how is it affecting people? I mean, somebody can tell that story and, you know, a year later, somebody can tell the same story and it's not that they're copying. It's just that that is what it is. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think social media affects everyone, right? And I think that, I mean, there haven't been that many shows, surprisingly, that have really, really focused on social media or even really technology as like a dominant theme.
Right. I agree. I mean, you know, sci-fi is out there, but, you know, it's getting to the point where it's not science fiction anymore. You know, it's getting to the point where it's actually becoming a reality. So,
yeah, it's just real life. It's just like the Elon Musk show or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So what we got a few more minutes here, Bobby. So what's the future for you, buddy? I mean, you told me a little bit about that short documentary that's coming out about you. But are we going to see more of these characters, more IRL?
I mean, it kind of depends. I guess right now we're doing the podcast circuit and I'm doing podcasts all around the world right now, which is, you know, a credit to my publicist, PD Beats. So we've got a bit of a second life here. We've had a lot of momentum in Canada for a while, but now that we're getting sort of a more international following, you know, I'm curious to see what that leads to. I do have another series that's not about IRL. Like, it's very different. That I've just optioned to a producer. So I start working on that when I get back from New York in about a week.
Okay. What's the premise of that one? Can you tell us?
Very vaguely, it's about love.
Okay.
It's about the complexity of romantic love.
Fair enough. Well, that's very complex, brother. So buckle up.
Yeah.
Buckle up for that
one. Right. So I guess I'm really interested in subject matter where there's not like an easy answer, right? There's lots of different perspectives within one sort of sub genre.
So I actually went to the YouTube. I subscribed to IRL a few weeks ago when I told you I was watching it, and I'm looking at the YouTube page here, and it looks like Surrogates, which is episode 2, has the most views, at least on YouTube, over 70,000. And that's the one where help me out here, but that's the one where the lesbian couple is considering adopting a child or something to that effect, and social media kind of breaks them up in the end.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, really what it's about is the disconnect between the way things appear and the way they actually are.
Right. And that's true. Yeah. Because, you know, in the pictures, they're so happy and everything. And then it shows them in their home and they're basically arguing the whole episode. So, you're right. That is a very good contrast there. Well, I was going to ask, why do you think that one's gotten so many more hits? Do you think that's...
Well, I think the LGBTQ community... is starved for content, and I think there's sort of more content emerging for that community, but not really on a mainstream level.
That's true. I mean, it's crazy. I just started, we were talking about Netflix a minute ago. Sorry, I keep bringing that up, but I just started watching Sense8. I don't know if you watch that, but that's a kind of a sci-fi also show, honestly. Have you ever watched that, Bobby?
No, I haven't had a chance.
But that one's very LGBT friendly, if you will. A lot of LGBT characters on that show, and a lot of gay relationships.
Well, I noticed that, like, our episode Surrogates, and again, like, we have some episodes that are maybe like 10,000. Mm-hmm. We have some that maybe only a couple thousand. But Surrogates is like 70,000.
Right, right.
And I was tracking it a little bit because I was like, what the hell is going on? And we had been posted and reposted in certain lesbian forums.
Right.
So, like, there's actually some websites, and I guess what they do is they track, like, and it was specific, it was just the ones that I found, but specifically it was like lesbian content, and specifically I think it was like positive portrayals of lesbians, like accurate portrayals. So, and we had like a bunch of people thank us in the comments, like, thank you for telling this story. And, you know, I think it's just when people, there's a lot of people out there, and when their stories aren't being told, like, it's upsetting. And then when, I guess, someone does tell their story, it really touches them, and then they guess they just want to tell everyone to go and see it.
Yeah, they want to share it. You know, that's great. That's a very good point. I didn't think about that, but I think you're probably right there, because with the exception of Sense8 I just mentioned, which ironically got canceled, you know, there's just not a whole lot. You know, occasionally a movie will come out where one of the protagonists is gay or something to that effect, but definitely on TV, and you know, you just don't see it a whole lot, which is a shame. So you're probably right there.
And when you do see it, you see the sort of sensationalized version of it.
Yeah.
So I think there's something about just portraying things in an honest way that really touches people.
Yeah, I agree. So you obviously act a little bit in this show, and you told me you're currently rehearsing for the show that you're going to be in. Do you like it? I know this is probably a question you get a lot, but would you prefer to act, or would you prefer to direct the actors? What do you like doing there?
I prefer to act. I mean, I started as an actor. You know, I went to theater school, trained as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess I do view directing as part of acting, because even though I'm not on stage with my cast, you know, I'm helping them, right? So like, I'm a very hands-on director. So I'm very energetic. Like, I'm, even though I'm not on screen or on stage or whatever I'm directing, I feel like I am, because it's like the essence of my energy is sort of like pervading the performers.
Right. I got you. Okay. Listen, I want to thank you very, very much for being here, Bobby. So, Bobby Del Rio in Real Life is the web series. You can definitely find it on YouTube. That's where I watched all of them. What's the website, Bobby? I got a fun thing I want to do with you real quick, but what's the website for In Real Life?
It's www.irltheseries.com.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't write that down to tell everyone, but yep, there it is. Okay, so I got a fun thing I want to do here for you. So I'm just going to ask you a few of your favorite. I always throw my guests for a loop at the end of the show. So right. I just ask them kind of a crazy hypothetical question. However, in your case, I'm going to throw a few softballs, if you will. So hopefully,
okay.
Hopefully you'll be able to come up with the answers to all these. But I feel like your fans and the actors that work with you might like to know some of this stuff if they don't already.
Sure.
So Bobby, what is your favorite food? That already stumped you. Go ahead. What is it?
Yeah. You got it. I think jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken. Okay, that's great. I have a restaurant I work at that we have a jerk chicken pizza that's really good.
I'll send it my way.
I will, man. I'll FedEx it to you. All right. So let's see. Who is your favorite music artist or band?
Radiohead.
Oh, good one, man. Good one. They're just.
Yeah.
I saw them. 1996 in a club in Chapel Hill, which is a town very close by. It's a college town close by. Very small club, like 200 people there. It was when Pablo Honey.
Oh my god!
Out. Yeah, it was great. It was one of the most memorable shows I've ever been to from a rock and roll standpoint. What's your favorite place to visit? It doesn't have to be in the U.S. Just wherever you've been.
Oh, it's New York.
New York City.
I love New York.
You wouldn't want to live there, though, would you? Or would you?
Yeah, I'd love to live in New York.
Okay. You know, so I always feel like, you know, like Vegas and New York, I love visiting, but I don't know if I could live there, man. I don't know if I could do it.
I would love it, man. I've been there 3 times. You know, I've had some of my work produced there as a playwright. There's just, you know, I love it. It's just so alive. There's always stuff happening.
That's true. I agree with that. I've been a few times and I agree with that. Okay. And the last one, what is your, what would you say is your guilty pleasure, Bobby? Something that you probably are a little ashamed that you're into, but you're into it.
I don't know. Like, maybe this sounds kind of stupid, but maybe like working out.
Okay. All right.
I'm really into it. I just like it. Makes me feel good.
Well, that'd really have to be a guilty pleasure, though. You should be proud of that. You should you should film your workouts, and that'd be your next web series.
You know what? I do feel somewhat guilty about it, though, right? Because it just I don't know. It just seems kind of like. Oh, like I have nothing better to do than work out or something, but I really enjoy it, you know?
Right. No, I get that. Everybody that listens to my show regularly knows mine, but mine is The Bachelor, the reality series. I watch all The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelorette, all that crap.
A friend of mine, I found out was like top 3 for like The Bachelor here in Canada, like a couple years ago. It was pretty amazing. And I was like, what the hell?
A guy or a girl? Just out of curiosity.
It was a girl.
Oh, man. Oh, but she didn't. You mean she was on the show when she got to the final 3?
Yeah, it was like final 3 or final 4, something like really, really high.
Oh, okay.
She had actually left the show.
I thought originally you were saying like she was going to be on it and just missed it by 3 people. But now I get what you're saying.
No, she was on the show. She made it to like the final 3 or final 4, and
that's awesome.
Well, it was pretty crazy to like hear like, oh, like what's it actually like to actually. Be on it for real, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, like I said, I want to really thank you for being here and taking time to talk to us a little bit. If you guys have not yet seen IRL in Real Life, the web series, please go check it out on YouTube or through the website. Bobby, I'm going to bring some background music in here, but why don't you tell everybody where to find you on social media and whatever you'd like to plug that's currently going on for you?
Cool. So on Twitter, I'm at BobMan, Instagram, and at Bobby Del Rio. IRL, on Twitter and Instagram. We're both at IRL the series. That's it. Yeah.
Cool, man. Bobby Del Rio, I appreciate it, man. I'll be chatting with you on Twitter, I'm sure. And please let me know as soon as there is a 13th IRL episode.
I want to
I want to see what happens. I want to figure out. And bring my redhead back. Bring my redhead back with the glasses.
Brittany's coming.
Yes, I want more Brittany, please. I'll keep that as less creepy as I possibly can, but I enjoyed that episode. Bobby, I appreciate it, man. You're the best, and I'll be looking out for you online, okay, man?
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right, peace.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.